Chapter 8 Talon Card was a hostage, but he wasn't supposed to know that. Imsatad probably thought himself clever and subtle for maneuvering Card into joining the search party on the moon's surface, and equally clever to make certain that there were 20 of his own people to Card's 4. Card was quite content to allow him that illusion of shrewdness. "We've already searched here, Maber Yef," the leader of the Peace Brigade segment of the team, said in his shrill little voice, waving his hand at a long row of vine-smothered ruins. "I'm sure you did," Card replied, "but not with Vornskers." Yef's pale, axe-nosed face turned dubiously toward the long-limbed beasts loping ahead of the group. "How do you know they don't just smell womp rats or something?" he asked. "If they could do that, they would be valuable indeed," Card replied. "As there are no womp rats on Yavin 4, it would require hyperwave noses to sniff them out all the way over on Tatooine." "You know what I mean." Vornskers sense the Force, and especially those creatures that use the Force. They are particularly suited for hunting Jedi. "Yeah? Where can we get some? That would be useful in our line of work." "Alas, mine are the only tame ones in existence. You don't want to meet a wild one, I promise you. Still, we've got plenty more of these Jedi to hunt down, and with all of the advantages their sorcery gives them, and if these things do what you say—" "Observe," Card said. The beasts had pricked up their ears and were panting eagerly. They darted through a crumbling entranceway.
"But we looked in there," Yef repeated.
"How many Jedi do you estimate are hiding in there? Based on my information, at least 2 adults and perhaps 30 children. Do you think you could see them if they didn't want to be seen? Or that you would remember them if you did see them?"
"Can they really do that?"
"They can really do that. That's what Captain Imsatad said. He also said you have a way around that." Card smiled thinly. "Indeed. A certain creature from the same planet as the Vornskers. It projects a bubble that repels the Force.
That's what your pretty lady has in the covered cage."
From the corner of his eye, Card saw Shada's brows lower dangerously, but she continued to play her part. "Exactly. My sweet Sleena is as delicate as they are. She understands their needs."
"Yeah."
Yef spared Sleena another leer.
"Can I see it?"
"Sunlight harms them, and they are easily agitated. If you wish, after the hunt, I'll show them to you. For the time being, I suggest you have your people ready their weapons. The children shouldn't put up much of a fight, but the adults will be formidable, even without their Jedi powers." They followed the Vornskers into the ruins, through crumbling galleries incensed with the crushed spice scent of blue leaf and the greeny, wormy smell of rotting wood. At first the light was dim but sufficient, falling in shards through gaps in the wall and roof, diffused by mist, leaves, and stringy moss-like stuff. But as they followed the Vornskers, it grew darker, and eventually they reached the opening to a stairwell that dropped steeply down into the bedrock foundations of the place. Card drew his blaster and nodded to Shada, on his right. Most everyone else already had theirs out.
"After you," Card suggested.
"Your beasts," Yef told him. "You go ahead."
"As you wish."
The tunnel took them down through ages of stone scribed now and then in alien figures and script. Eventually it debouched into a large cavern. The Vornskers stood snarling and spitting at the darkness.
"Sit," Card commanded, the hair on his neck pricking up.
Had he just seen a motion, part of a face, or was he just fooling himself? His own life depended on the answer. He looked again at the Vornskers, at the way their eyes moved, as if watching something walking very near.
"Where are they? I don't see anything."
Yef swung his lamp around.
"No," Card said, "neither do I."
He raised his blaster and stunned the Peace Brigader. He managed to nail another one before the return fire came, and by then he was already diving for the rocks. Team members Halm and Fersen, alert for his signal, were already doing the same. Shada, on the other hand, was a gyroscoping blur in the midst of their enemies. Too bad Yef was already stunned.
Otherwise, he would be learning a whole new appreciation for the pretty lady right now. When they had allowed him only three of his crew, they hadn't known exactly how good Chadha was. How could they? Now it was too late. The air went thick with energy, and the cave strobed. By his count, it was now 4 to 15. He heard Halm cry out, and regretfully amended his own forces to 3. He pulled his other blaster and leapt up, both weapons blazing, searching for better cover. "Come on, come on," he shouted. "I know you're here. Regards from Luke and Mara's wedding." A bolt singed across his arm, and he stumbled on the uneven floor. "I'm getting too old for this," he thought, rolling on his back. Without cover, he would last a few seconds, maybe long enough to shoot 2 more. Chadha might still manage to kill them all, but that would leave the galaxy short 1 Talon card, which would be a terrible tragedy. Grimly, he raised his weapons and pointed over his feet. Muzzles flashed. And suddenly, a glowing wand of energy appeared above him, cutting complex hieroglyphs in the air. The blaster bolts that had meant to end the glorious career of Talon Card whined off into the cavern. Card blinked up at the man standing over him. "Nice to see you, Solasar. What took you so long?" Then he opened up on the Peace Brigaders, climbing to his feet as he did so. Solasar was his cover now, deflecting the fire directed at them with that eerie Jedi certainty. Another lightsaber flashed into existence across the room. That would be Teon. Card now counted 5 for his side and estimated 10 on the other. When the Peace Brigaders were down to 3, they fled back up the passageway. "We can't let them get away," Card said. "They won't," the shadowy figure beside him promised. Then he was gone. And somewhere behind him in the cavern, Card heard the voices of children. Kam Solasar returned a few moments later. Card made out his stern face and receding hairline in the dim light of a glow lamp. Solasar walked up to Card and regarded him for a moment. "You're lucky I didn't cut you down," he said, "bringing those men down here where the children are, using your Vornskers against us. What if they had attacked the students?" Card cocked his head. "My pets are very well trained. They attack only on my order. Look, Solasar, I had to find you. I couldn't do it without the interference of those fools, and when I did find you, I had to get rid of them. They thought I had an Isla Amiri with me, that your Jedi powers would be blocked. But you didn't bring one. It's an empty cage. So you turned on them, not knowing if we were really here or not. I know my pets. I was certain you were down here, and I didn't want to cripple you by actually bringing an Isla Amiri. That was quite a risk. I told Luke Skywalker I would take his students off of Yavin 4. If keeping my word requires risk, that's acceptable." Solasar nodded impatiently. "Understood. But how am I to know you're telling the truth? I know you, yes, and you've been on the right side, but a lot of people are joining the Peace Brigade, and you've changed coats before, Card. So have you. Have you ever wanted to put the old one back on?" Solasar's eyes narrowed. Then he chopped his head in a single affirmation. "I'll trust you. What now? Now I suggest we get out of here, before they send reinforcements." Unfortunately, Captain Imsitad had not underestimated Card as badly as he might have. When they reached the surface, the forest was teeming with Peace Brigaders. "Perfect," Kam Solasar muttered, ducking a blaster bolt that vaped a fist-sized hole in the stone near him. "At least before we were hidden." Card straightened the front of his outfit and glanced casually at his chrono. "Solasar, I'm injured. Don't you have any faith in me? Faith is blind, unquestioned belief. What do you think? I think I would cover my ears if I were you." He raised his voice. "Teon, children, cover your ears." "What?" Solasar began, but was drowned out by what might have been 2 hands the size of Death Stars clapping. Card grinned with fierce satisfaction as turbolaser fire set the surrounding jungle ablaze. It was good to have a crew he could trust. He stepped from behind cover and, carefully aiming and picking off the few peace brigaders who were still paying attention, trotted toward where the wild card was landing. When the landing ramp came down, Cam Soldasar and Tion shepherded the children on board as Card and his crew provided cover fire. In moments, they were all inside. Card was the last aboard, and even as his feet hit the deck, the modified Corellian transport pirouetted and tossed itself at the sky. Through the closing hatch, Card saw several enemy ships already on their trail. He had known it would be a near thing. He almost couldn't believe they had pulled it off. Of course, he would never say that aloud. Humming, he went at a brisk but dignified pace to his bridge. By the time he got there, the sky was already a deep blue bruise, getting blacker by the second. "Well, gentle beings," Card said as he took his seat, "what's the situation?" Hasishi shot him a harried look from the sensor station. "We did some damage to our watchdogs in orbit, but they're all still flying. Now we have the ships from the surface to deal with as well." "Well, deal with them." "Yes, sir." The ship shuddered, and the inertial dampeners whined. "Oper," Card shouted at one of his security men, "make certain the children are secured somewhere. I don't want one hair on their little Jedi heads harmed." "Yes, sir," Oper said, hurrying off. "Now." Card studied the layout. "They've got us penned in, don't they? Unless we can make the jump to light speed." "With Big Yavin right there," Card mused. "No, not today. I think we'll punch through the cage instead." He tapped the console. "Here."
"That's their most heavily armed ship," Shada observed.
"When a pack of Vornskers comes for you, always kick the biggest and meanest one right in the teeth. It will certainly get their attention."
"I believe we already have their attention."
"One can never have too much good wine, beautiful women, or attention," Card said. "Go, and keep the throttle open."
"We won't get their shields down before we reach them," Shada said.
"No, we won't. But we'll certainly see who blinks first."
He reflected for an instant.
"Give me the controls."
"I thought you said gambling was a foolish occupation," Shada remarked, as the frigate grew larger on their screens.
"Indeed I did," Card replied. "But I'm not gambling. On my mark, release proton torpedoes. Don't fire them, just release them."
"As you wish, sir," the gunner replied, sounding puzzled.
"They're trying for tractor lock," Shada said.
"Yes, let them have it."
"What?"
"Drop the shields."
This time the dampeners couldn't absorb all of the shock. The deck felt as if it was buckling beneath their feet as the tractor beam caught them, killing their forward motion.
"Torpedoes, now," Card said.
"Torpedoes released."
Shada looked up.
"The tractor beam has them."
"Good. Arm them and put our shields back up."
"Sir, they've commenced fire on the torpedoes."
"Have they released the tractor beam?"
"No, sir."
"Detonate the torpedoes, then."
He re-engaged the drive as the screen went white.